I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can.
This would be again the show that we're going to have someday where Kirk just sings all of the bumper music because he truly believes in this cause. Welcome back to the cabin. This is the Up North Podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow along with Kirk Bangstad and Sarah Yacoub.
We're back with lawyers Joe Good and Mark Lantner from the firm Milwaukee, from the Milwaukee firm Laffey, Lantner, and Good. Welcome back.
Thanks. All right, guys. So we just spent the last probably 15 minutes kind of laying the groundwork of how Congressman Tiffany, Congressman Fitzgerald, and U.S. Senator Ron Johnson were part of a conspiracy, a multi-pronged conspiracy, but their role was to sow confusion and doubt amongst the Wisconsin voters. Their role was to confusion and doubt so that when the next bits happened, they would not be horrified by that. And so now we're going to talk about the next bits. So Joe, let's go.
Sure. So people have to remember, we have an election and there's a popular vote. What we actually do when we elect a president is we have electoral votes that are counted for each state. Okay. And there's a whole set of procedures, both in the U.S. Constitution and in federal and state law, that govern how that works. Wisconsin's presidential electors met by law on December 14th. We have 10 of them. There were 10 Biden-Harris electors because the Biden-Harris electors are the ones who had been elected by the popular vote in Wisconsin.
Which had been certified.
Which had been certified by the state, by the elections after a recount from Trump. Bottom line is, what these guys tried to do, our defendants and other people, is they created 7 states, including Wisconsin, where they came up with false slates of electors that were going to vote for Trump and for Pence. When the electoral votes were counted on January 6th by President Pence, who had a ministerial role by the Constitution on January 6th to open the box and start reading off the names.
When you say ministerial, you mean completely not like anything that's going to make a difference to the world.
No authority.
None. Functional, just
no
to
power to
ceremonial. Ceremonial.
Ceremonial. Perfect. Thank
Even
you,
better.
Kirk.
Okay.
So here's what the schemers thought of. A guy named Chesbrough and a guy named Eastman came up with a plan. 7 states, false electors, and there was going to be a contest, allegedly, a created contest on January 6th. And the first plan was to have Vice President Pence open up the slates of electors and declare that the 7 states where Biden won actually went to Trump. They actually wrote this down and articulated that that was the plan. But then they recognized, well, that might get some objections from Democrats, or I think, Kirk, you've used the word, might have caused a civil war or something else. So then the plan was to have Vice President Pence declare all 7 states, whether they were the good electors, the ones who actually won, or the false electors. We're just going to not count those 7 states, which would have meant this. There weren't enough electoral votes for either President Biden or President Trump to become the next president. And in that case, the U.S. Constitution kicks the vote and the actual election of the president to the House of Representatives. And in that instance, under the guise of who controlled the delegations in Congress, at that point in time, the election would have gone to President Trump. And the way that works, Kirk, go ahead.
Yeah, because you told me this. I'm just like, you know, I'm just regurgitating what you told me. Sure. But the reason that goes to Trump is because when it goes to the House of Representatives, every state gets 1 vote. So that means California, who's got like a gazillion more people than Wisconsin, is now got 1 vote, and Wisconsin's got 1 vote, and all the rural states went for Trump, and all the huge populated states went for Biden. And so that means that's why Trump would have won if this was put to the House of Representatives as opposed
Precisely.
To, and yep, okay.
It's another anti-democratic part of the Constitution.
Well, it's because the U.S. Senate is the original gerrymander, but yep, that's a discussion for another time.
Okay, so we know those 2 things didn't happen. We know, and none of these things happened because let's be clear, they didn't have to complete the conspiracy to be found to be a part of a conspiracy or to have trouble related to conspiracy law. So then they had a third plan. Well, we'll take the seven states and we'll throw it back to the state legislatures because, like, for example, in Wisconsin, and you hear this even recently, as recently as a couple hours ago, people are talking about still trying to decertify, have the legislature decertify the electoral count from Wisconsin. This is 2 years later. Okay. That was plan three. Thank God.
Wait, so plan three, let me just reiterate. So if Pence throws away both slates of electors, he can say this was too rigged. Wisconsin's and Nevada and Philadelphia was just too crazy and rigged. We're not going to count the legal ones. We're not going to count the fake ones. We're going to say state legislatures, you got to figure it out.
Right.
And because our state legislature is as corrupt as they get in the United States, they would have handed this thing to Trump.
Well, that certainly was the theory. And let's not forget our three defendants, besides Fitzgerald opening the door to the Capitol, which is an overt act helping these criminals do this. These three guys, the drumbeat from November 4th, when Biden wins Wisconsin, is it was rigged. It was false. It was fraudulent, lacking integrity, ballot boxes, this, that, and everything else.
Oh, and it was worse than that. It was worse than that for Tiffany. And I have to bring this up again because to me, again, this is singularly disqualifying that Tom Tiffany should not have been allowed to even take the seat the day he signed on to that Texas lawsuit that sought to have not just some states votes, but Wisconsin's as well, to have these votes thrown out. When he signed his name to that to say, I don't believe my constituents' votes matter, That to me is as close to a conspiracy for insurrection as anything else that's gone on out there. I had kind of diminished Fitzgerald renting the room. Now I appreciate it all that much more, but I don't want Tom Tiffany off the hook by virtue of
unconscionable to disenfranchise the people who voted for him.
Wait, right. So what you're saying though is that there was different players. Trump told Chesbrough and Eastman to devise the strategy. The strategy involved fraudulent electors in seven states doing something illegal and Pence ultimately making a crazy illegal move, which was to throw out all these electors. Right. But in order for that illegal move to not cause a civil war, you had to confuse the heck out of the voters of these seven states by saying there's shenanigans over and over and over again. Only way that Pence would have been able to throw away the real electors on December 6th or January 6th was to have that confusion just be locked in to every one of these states.
That's right.
And that is the reason why we're suing Johnson, Tiffany, and Fitzgerald, because the confusion instilled by them in the voters was a part of the conspiracy.
But
just
right.
like the fraudulent electors, just like Eastborough and Chesbrough, just like Trump, all the way to the top.
Can't separate any of it.
Kirk, if you and Sarah and Pat and Mark and I all decided tonight to go rob a bank, right? You and I might be the guys who go in the bank. Mark drives the getaway car. Sarah has the safe house where we're going. And Patrick does all the planning and 3 weeks of surveillance of the bank. We are all part of that conspiracy. Sarah, who's a former prosecutor, would say, put you all away and throw you in the clink, even if we were unsuccessful in collecting the cash.
If the car doesn't start,
that we did it. Go ahead,
Mark. You know what this is bringing to mind? So South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem came to Hudson and spoke to a bunch of Hudson voters, and we have a video of it somewhere. And somebody in the audience asked, is there any chance Trump loses? And she told this gallery of Hudsonites, only if there is massive voter fraud. So a governor of a state is coming to Wisconsin telling people this is the only way Trump loses. So this is bigger than this is goes across states.
And it hasn't, the lies flow directly. The lies are absolutely essential because they are there as the support for really what they are is a pressure point on Vice President Pence.
And it hasn't ended yet to this day. Even in today, Wednesday, in that meeting where Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tried to have it both ways, where he tried to play footsie with the conspiracy theorists while at the same time saying, you can't do this, I don't see any legal way to do it. He came out of that meeting and told reporters he still believes there was widespread fraud when he knows there was not widespread fraud, because it is part of the plan to continue to sow doubt and undermine the integrity of these elections.
You know who else? You know who else knows there was fraud? No fraud. All three of these guys. Let's not forget that Johnson, on the, what is it, the 14th of November, if my memory serves right, calls his old friend Mark Becker. Who's Mark Becker? The former chairman of the Brown County Republicans.
That's right.
And Becker writes for the Bulwark, and he's so mad about the call from Johnson, which goes for a half an hour, where Johnson admits he knows there's no fraud. That's November 14th. November 14th. That is right at the beginning of all of this, and yet he keeps saying it and saying
turning
it and
up
saying
the volume
it and
all
saying
the
it and saying it.
Wait, he said something to the effect of, correct me, because everybody knows I'm the guy funding the lawsuit, so I'm going to have be biased. Your lawyers are not as biased as me, but didn't he say something to the effect of Ron Johnson? He said, I know that Biden won the election, but if I say it publicly, my political career is over.
You got it. That's exactly what Mark Becker reported in the Bulwark. That is 100% true.
Yet the day before, January 6th, Johnson was saying there was shenanigans in the election. We have to postpone the certification of these electoral votes because we have to listen to the Wisconsinites because there were shenanigans everywhere.
You got it. And here's the irony of the whole story, at least for me, is who saves the day? The one person who was integral to the conspiracy, Mike Pence, refuses to act illegally. On January 6th, when confronted with confronted with the idea of, as President Trump said on the Ellipse that day, doing the right thing, Mike Pence says, nope, we are a government of laws. The rule of law matters. And we're going to do this the way it actually played out in reality. 60 plus lawsuits, all resolved against Trump. No fraud. Nobody's buying this that are actually paying attention. And Pence says, no go. Now, we all know what happens, right? There's a massive violent upsurge. There's all kinds of nasty stuff. And we now have Joe Biden as our president, and legitimately so.
Well, they were chanting, hang Mike Pence. I mean, they knew exactly what he didn't do.
Right, Sarah.
Okay, so there's a bunch of reasons why people are going to think that this lawsuit is going to fail. We don't only have enough time to talk about a couple of them. First of all, we've already talked about how there's already a lawsuit used up with the 14th Amendment against Madison Cawthorn. Guys, we talked about this in the first segment of why that ruling was ridiculous. I'm going to pass right on by that because you don't have enough time. What I really think that the listeners want to know, whoever's listening tonight, is that we know that politicians lie. We all know that politicians lie all the time about everything. Why are these lies that are undermining the sanctity of our votes, why are these lies somehow illegal and criminal when they've been basically lying to us ever since they got into office? And some Democrat politicians lie too. I mean, listen, let's be honest.
Their mouths are moving. That's all you know. But the short answer is that when you use words as an integral part of criminal conduct, and whether that criminal conduct is lying to the FBI, whether it's raising your hand in a courtroom and saying something false when you're under oath, there are a whole bunch of ways that criminal law makes using words illegal, outside the scope of the First Amendment. And one of those ways is if you use words as an integral part of a criminal scheme. And right here, the words of these defendants were not simply lies thrown out into the atmosphere to do whatever they were going to do. They were lies with a specific purpose of fomenting, of plowing the ground, of making it ready, of getting the public agitated, getting people ready to pressure Pence, and to create an atmosphere in which it was conceivable that something as ridiculous as phony electors who had no right to assert that they were electors, that their claims might actually get a hearing. And it's that whole, the statements that these three individuals made, the lies they told over and over and over again, knowing as we talked about Senator Jensen, knowing that they're lies, all to serve this illegal end of subverting the election.
All right, so I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I fully support what we're doing and the timeliness, the time sensitivity of it. But let's just ask the question, why aren't we just going to leave this up to Merrick Garland and Josh Call to do something?
We tried. We don't have enough time because election law is kind of weird. It's like Goldilocks. You know, the bed is too soft. No, it's too hard. The courts will tell you if you come in well in advance of an election that, this is not ripe because we're not close enough to the election yet. We haven't picked the candidates. So you have to wait. Okay, fine, I'll wait. You file the lawsuit 8 months from the election, and now they say, the Purcell Doctrine keeps you from, this might be illegal, but we can't do anything about it because it's too close to the election.
We don't want to confuse the voters.
And this is a situation, it's a hard call, this is one of those times when the powers that be, Josh Call, Merrick Garland, they may have something planned. They may be busy with other things. I know that Attorney General Garland certainly is with January 6th, but it may well be that that they can't get to it. Well, somebody has to, and that somebody is us.
And God bless you guys for doing it, and Kirk for taking this on, because look, whatever the size of the window, the thing that I think a lot of these folks supporting the insurrection are trying to use to their advantage is the short American attention span. And I didn't until this past weekend watch the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, Don't Look Up. And it is stunning in what it does for showing how if you don't act, people are gonna forget all about this. Joe Good, Mark Leitner from Laffy, Leitner & Good, thank you so much for your time. We do appreciate it.
Guys, we're happy to be on.
All right, we'll wrap things up with the show right after this. Spread my wings and fly away.